Danny spoke up, souring his mood a bit.
Don't get too attached. The gear comes back to us when this is all over.
Danny, have them take their weapons. I think they're going to need them sooner than we had hoped. There was a scratching coming from the mouth of the tunnel the goblins had created. I had covered it with stone, but had not gotten the chance to reinforce it yet. In a few moments, the scratching turned into pounding, and cracks formed on the wall. Dale. Hans stepped through the portal, the last of the wounded with him. Dale, we have good timing. The barrier is failing, and a mana storm is coming. A snowflake the size of the king's palace just drifted past. It caught on the pleasure house and cut it in half. Hans shuddered. At least it was drifting and not plummeting. I can't imagine how much that weighed. I'm assuming a mana storm creates odd weather phenomenon? Dale helped his teammate carry the wounded man into an empty fortification. Hans agreed with a few reservations. More than that, it creates things. All of that mana could just go up and up, then suddenly turn into a new moon. Who knows what could happen? Even if we survive the night, we may not survive the weather. Is this why shattering your center is so illegal? Dale wondered, hoping a solution could be found. Pretty much.
Dale, you need to get ready. The first of the infected have begun coming into the dungeon. They are on the first and fourth floor, so look out for infected coming up the stairs as well. I'm going to be allowing the mobs to fight at full strength, so avoid them and don't attack them. There is a new kind, a berserker, who attacks any threat, I told him, lifting out Danny's mithril armor.
She took over the goblin boss, getting ready to hold the stairs.
The fourth? How?
Dale demanded impatiently as he helped the wounded into a fort.
What? You think I just created the concept for goblins? Use your head. They tunneled in. I was taking out my nervousness on him, but it couldn't be helped. Seriously, this guy fights magical things all the time. You'd think he could assess a situation, I muttered.
I heard that. Who has ever heard of goblins tunneling?
Don't care.
Dale growled, then started giving orders. They were far too close to the fourth floor exit. He finished explaining to one group, then moved to the next half-hex fort. He yelled for them to open the gate, but they just glared at him and told him to leave. It took Dale a moment to realize why he recognized the people on the wall. He snapped his fingers.
You are the nobles that came a while back. Why are you still here?
Oh, I don't know, one of them spat at him. Maybe because someone basically called everyone cowards and told them if they left they couldn't come back. The same person who killed hundreds of cultivators with that order. Sound familiar?
Dale's gut twisted. He'd been thinking along those same lines, but hearing someone else say it was much worse. He took a deep breath, reminding himself of the phrase he had been raised on.
Death is everywhere in the Phantom Mountains. By being here, everyone accepted those risks. They could have left, but their greed held them here. I accept no blame for wanting to protect my home. Shut up, you common-born filth! You're just trying to get us all killed!
Dale's vision flashed red.
If I wanted to kill you, I could order you to leave my land right now! He bellowed at the man on the wall, who paled at the revelation. Now follow my orders and those of the council, or I will make you leave! Failing to assist in the defense of the dungeon kills us all, and doing it knowingly is punishable by death. Starting now.
There was a pause as the people behind the wall went silent. Dale wasn't having it.
Move your blue-blooded asses!
There wasn't exactly a scramble for the door, but a slow shuffle of people made their way toward the midpoint of the floor. Dale had to take several deep breaths to calm himself. The prince and princess had been called back to their kingdoms after the nobles had been settled and the infection announced, and Dale missed them. He hadn't had to bother with the stubborn branch family members a single time after punishing the unruly barons and sending them away. Their respective monarchs had kept their promise, forcing the nobles to stay in line and under their control. Dale waited a minute after the last people had left. Just long enough to see a contingent of exceedingly well-armed and armored goblins walk into the fort. Good, he thought. The rear would be defended.
Cal, we need a bit more protection. 8-foot walls aren't going to keep the infected out.
I'm having my own problems, Dale. What do you want? Contrary to my words, I was really enjoying how the infected didn't bother to dodge Rail's attacks. I had made 5 versions of him, and they were really fun to watch as they squashed bodies as a team.
"I need these walls to connect to the ceiling. Can you make it happen?"
Dale begged the essence-hungry dungeon, using his mind to speak so he could avoid odd glances from the stragglers.
"You know, Dale, sometimes you need to solve your own problems. But in this case, I may have something prepared. There was a 15-person group that came through here once. You may have heard of them. And I made corrections to my defenses in case a large force attacked again."
I paused my speech, releasing a small block of stone above each hex fort that allowed granite fortress enhancements to slowly drop. When they were all the way down, there would only be small gaps for arrows and other projectiles to move through. I sure hoped people were claustrophobic and panicked as they saw the walls closing in on them. Heh.
"Is the ceiling falling?"
Dale muttered aloud while he looked at the roof with serious concern. Now that he was alone, he was much more talkative.
"If I were you, I'd get into a fort before those came all the way down. I've never tested them. They might block off the entrance."
Dale started scrambling to get to his chosen fort.
"Good luck. Kill a lot of things for me."
Yeah, Minya told me that killing things is how you get stronger. Don't remind me. I don't like to help you," Dale mentioned breezily, keeping his breathing even as he jogged.
"Don't judge me like that. You do the same thing."
My words almost made Dale stumble.
"I do not."
"You are personally responsible for the death of 1,432.5 bashers, 48 goblins, a few human criminals, finally, one human that was going to cut you out of the profits when you found me," I informed him primly.
"That's diff—"
Dale trailed off as he realized the extent of my memory.
"Go on. Keep telling yourself that I am the one of us that is evil and terrible. Everything I do to survive and get stronger. People die here, but death is all around in the Phantom Mountains, isn't it, Dale?"
I taunted him, expecting him to wither. Instead, he smiled.
"Why, yes it is, Cal. I'm so glad you asked." Dale laughed as he ran to safety.
"Oh, you brat! I hated wasting my questions, sneaky human."
Dale closed the door behind him, and soon the walls met with the descending stone. A grinding noise was heard for a few moments as things settled, but all of the walls held. Just in time, too. Wailing and sobbing noises were echoing into the room as the infected stumbled down the stairs. Soon, the sound of the battle joined the ruckus as goblins in the forts were attacked. They showed their mettle, keeping the horde occupied for nearly a half hour as they fought to the death. Hundreds of lower-ranked infected cultivators died throwing themselves against the walls, but it was the mages that ended their desperate defense.
The mages blasted the walls into splinters with very little effort, and the goblin defenders were soon overrun. Danny had done well holding the boss area, but she wasn't ready for mages yet. She hurried back to me as the Amazon finally fell. The infected used essence and mana liberally, sparing nothing in an attempt to kill as quickly as possible. The goblin's armor offered little protection against the globes of water that suddenly surrounded their heads, drowning them where they stood. Blasts of fire cooked them. Gusts of wind tore them apart, blasting through gaps in armor. The snarls and screams of rage from the infected slowed, replaced by their sobs and wailing when they ran out of things to kill.
Dale looked around the packed little fort that his people were planning to defend, taking heart in the fact that there was no terror showing. Fear was present, but determination shone in people's glinting eyes and their firm stances. They may die here, but they would die fighting. Dale nodded, pleased at what he saw. He gave one last command, as softly as possible.
"Everyone, first off, good luck. Let's try to stay as quiet as we can. It's possible that they may ignore us if we don't attract their attention."
He got some nods in return, and all conversation ceased. The infected started filing past, a trickle at first. The trickle quickly turned into a flood. The infected in front of the group moved along toward a noisier fortress, the ones behind them following like sheep. More people looked to Dale, nodding and giving him a thumbs up. The guild cook was among them, and patted Dale on the back.
That was a good plan, my boy.
The people in the fort looked at the smiling cook in horror, and the smile slowly slid from the cook's face.
Damn it, I should have let that healer fix my ears.
A shriek of rage pierced through the walls, impacting their ears as the nearest infected turned toward them in a rage. They almost seemed more furious than usual, as if they knew they had been tricked. The mushroom-encrusted beings charged the fort, bent on the destruction of all things living. 25.
These dark elves are seriously interesting to watch. They've been fighting non-stop for at least 2 hours, and I don't think they've stopped moving and swinging their blades for a single second.
I cheered as one of the elves landed a particularly tricky attack, removing an infected's head, followed by slicing another in half without slowing.
Nice one, Jason,
Brianna called, laughing right along with me. Somehow she was able to keep these random people's names straight. The labyrinth was stuffed full of infected beings. I had bashers and cats spawning constantly. Well, at least as fast as I could make them. The infected were expending essence so frequently that I was easily able to continue production. As the fighting progressed, my essence gain began to outpace my expenditure, filling me with joy. And essence. I had wither cats hunting mages because, while mages were hard to damage, if a wither cat landed a successful attack, the mage's access to mana and essence was heavily restricted. A short while later, the mage would collapse. They were alive, but unable to access their centers. This kept them from exploding while taking them out of the fight. Win-win.
Are you making sure to get all the spores, Cal?
Danny nagged me a bit.
Yes, yes, we've been over this. I've got it.
When the infected died, they tended to release a cloud of spores, and I was making sure that I absorbed them as fast as possible. It wouldn't do to have my defenders join the attackers.
You've got it today or sometime next week.
I'm a little busy here, Danny.
You'll be busier if we lose an elf.
Gah! I'll give them a reprieve.
In two of the tunnels that connected to the boss room, I raised portal arches. They took a few minutes to become fully active, but there was so much loose essence in the air that they soon began to shimmer and hum softly. Fully active at a speed I had not been able to achieve before, the deadly traps were ready. The infected could still see through the boiling air and so had no idea that they were running into the backside of an active portal. In another tunnel, I placed a row of assimilators along the ceiling and had them fire shards of stone and blasts of fire as continuously as possible. The hanging assimilators went to work immediately, killing several infected that made their way into the tunnel. The unending stream of infected began pouring into the shimmering space of the open portals, their deaths silent, but for the spray of meat slapping against the nearest surfaces. The group as a whole moved faster into their impending death, while the ones at the front struggled, trying to avoid the deadly light. Sadly for them, the infected in the rear were pushing the mass of bodies forward, noticing that there was room to move again.
50 dead in 2 seconds! They're still coming, too!
I crowed. The essence in their centers mingling with my own, bringing me ever closer to my next ranking. Hundreds of deaths were slapping against my senses every minute, and I grew more powerful by the moment.
Are you doing okay, Cal?
Danny flew around me, staring at me as if she could tell with her vision if I were starting to go insane from the influx of power.
I am doing amazingly,
I reassured her with a wide mental grin, which, now that I think about it, may not have confirmed my sanity in her mind.
I'm worried.
What? Why?
Danny paused, looking at the enormous death toll in the dungeon.
I think it is only a matter of time before a mage dies in here. I have no idea what might happen in that case. Will you move directly into the mage rank? Will you only get their essence? Will you die from the sudden gain? What if...
I have a plan, Danny.
This seemed to throw her off.
You do? What?
I'm going to put the mana into a bag and save it for later, I told her cheerfully, and I suspected she began to question my sanity again. Seriously, I made a dimensional bag, a pocket space that is totally empty. There is nothing in it except for an exit, but that is a one-way door. I can make it two-way, letting it flow back to me, but I won't until I am ready.
And you are sure it will work?
Danny asked in a skeptical tone. I turned a bit red.
Well, it should work in theory. The transfer of energy, as long as I am not trying to make it stop existing, should allow for an unoccupied space to contain said energy. It will not dissipate, nor will it move into an alternative form, as it has nothing that can act upon it.
It's a what?
Danny spun in place, trying to understand what I was saying.
Don't worry too much. It is a theory I heard about the elven conservation of energy. The idea let me build the portals much more efficiently than I had thought I would be able to. Basically, in that space there is nothing, and so the energy, in this case mana, will remain there, unchanging, until acted upon by an outside force. Which can only be me, since I'll bind it to myself. I tried to tell her a bit more, but she cut me off and went to kill something.
What? What did I say?
Snowball started moving in different attack patterns as Danny took over his movements. Danny went for weak points like throats and joints, whereas Snowball usually just mauled whoever got near him. It seemed she was not going to answer my question.
Ah, well.
I gauged the amount of essence I was accumulating. So far, the majority of dying creatures were in the D-ranks. They did not give me much essence overall, but a constant drop in a bucket will still fill it up eventually. I began devoting more attention to refining what essence I was gaining. My cultivation pattern allowed me to passively and efficiently remove the corruption I was accumulating, but directly and actively removing it was even faster. I was moving through the C-ranks quickly, as I had already reached C-rank 4. A fort was breached on my third floor, and soon the death toll began increasing yet again. Most of the attackers were too weak to do much damage, but their huge numbers allowed C-ranked and even B-ranked infected to attack without warning. When the first C-ranked defender died, it felt like a lightning bolt had struck me. Essence shot into my core, swiftly swirling into the hole in my aura. My mind's construct of a galaxy of cultivation lit up with points of brilliant essence appearing in the void. The fighting above raged on, while my elven guards mercilessly slaughtered the few infected that made it into my room. The fighters on the third floor were holding up well, protected as they were by the forts. I was feeling very good about their chances of survival, until a massive blast of mana slammed into the mountaintop above my dungeon. It was strange, and I soon understood the issue. It was undirected mana. When the mages above had detonated their centers, the freed mana began reacting according to its nature. All mana was accumulated by forcing essence into a concept, a law of the world. The mana above was attempting to reshape the world in its image, causing catastrophic damage. One of the types of mana must have been a gravity derivative, because everything above was being sucked into a gravity well and slammed against the ground with the force of a falling star. What was currently impacting the mountain and reducing it to rubble? Birds. Flying overhead, their mass in the gravity well was enough to dig 10-foot holes into the rock. The real issue arrived when a quagmire of mana was sucked in, impacting the celestial quartz and shattering the rock holding it in place with a huge outburst of power. The quartz that had been directly inscribed by the rune script was nearly unaffected. Runes were quite durable when made properly, but the small portion of the quartz reinforced with celestial essence that did break sent a shockwave of concentrated power outward, killing any infected within a dozen feet. The huge plate of minerals smashed 40 feet to the dungeon floor, breaking off the activation sequence of the script. The remaining runes were intact, but now useless, because the bridge to their power was removed. That was the good news. The bad news was that there was now an opening the infected could pour into, increasing how many could enter the dungeon at a time.
"Well, Dale, it's been a pleasure, but I don't think you are going to make it," I cheerily thought my goodbyes at the fragile human.
Dale.
"You are way too happy about that," Dale muttered, getting an odd look from the people around him who were all exceedingly somber.
"How are you so clean?" Hans glared jealously at his friend. "My clothes have poop on them, Dale. Poop! You don't even have blood on you!"
Dale laughed at his overly cleanly friend and demonstrated. He threw a punch into an infected person who got too close, blasting its face into meaty chunks. A bit of gore got onto him, but waving his battle gauntlet near it sent it zipping away to land on someone else.
"Fluid repulsion rune.
Dale chuckled smugly at the angry look sent his way by the other, now slightly filthier, defenders.
Seriously, though, I have a feeling that things are about to get worse.
Hans made a face.
What tipped you off? The ground shaking or the underground thunder?
Definitely the ground shaking.
Cheeky brat.
Hans ducked a wild swing from a weak once human, retaliating with a blow that removed the creature's head. The number of attackers started to swell, increasing until they were literally crawling over each other in an attempt to fill the room with wriggling bodies. Dale was worried that they would be overrun, but soon had a bit more to be concerned about. As the press of bodies became too intense, the weaker infected were pinned to the ground. After a few moments of being walked on, they gave up and shattered their cores. Their suicidal assault blew holes in the attacking line. Chunks of stone began raining down as the walls and floor were damaged. Fire filled the air, and chaos reigned supreme.
"We need to make sure there aren't too many of them on the walls at one time,"
Rose screamed over the hubbub.
"If they pack in, they'll blow us all to the abyss."
"There are mages approaching your position. Best of luck."
Dale was amazed at the amount of death that had followed the relatively weak cultivators shattering their centers. In the confined space, the blasts had been far more effective at tearing apart bodies than anything he had been able to muster.
"Dale, move!"
Tom cried out, tackling Dale away from the wall as a form blasted a small section of it to bits. Tom cried out in pain as his good arm was grabbed through the opening, and he began to be dragged out of the safe area.
"Tom!"
Rose screamed, racing forward. The defenders moved together and began a painful tug-of-war using Tom's body as the rope. Tom screamed as the defenders won with a roar and a jerk, pulling off the arm of the creature that had been gripping him.
"Anyone need a hand?"
Tom panted, then chuckled.
I got a spare arm now."
There were chuckles all around as people went back to defending. Someone called out,
"I wouldn't use that one. You have no idea where it might have been."
"Looks like we don't need to give you a hand."
"Seems you have a good handle on things."
"Yikes, this fight is getting out of hand."
Rose shuddered.
"You all need to stop."
Her statement was met with laughs. The laughing turned into loud cheering as Tom used the scavenged arm to beat a creature to death while the dwarves worked to fix the wall and reinforce it.
"There we go. I'm at 38,
Tom called out with a grin on his face.
"I'm doing better than all of you with one hand tied behind my... Oh, right."
He grinned as people laughed, wiggling his stump. Dale was struck by inspiration.
"A platinum bonus to whoever gets the most kills. And after this, drinks are on me for a week."
A roar of approval met his words, and the flagging spirits of the fighters were rejuvenated. Arrows, blades, darts from blowguns, and all sorts of artillery flew into the crowd, killing the bestial exsentients at a distance. As the things closed in on the fort, the defenders activated dozens of different techniques. Blood rose from the ground and formed whirling blades that tore chunks of meat from anything they touched. Shards of stone zipped into the melee. Apparitions appeared and flew into the ranks, killing without leaving a mark. One mage released some kind of gas that only moved among the enemy ranks, not doing anything until he snapped his fingers. Then the whole group it had engulfed seemed to turn to dust and scattered on the floor. A bleeding Frank whispered, "Stop," repeatedly, targeting individual combatants. They would slow, then stop, finally detonating and taking out groups around themselves.
"I'm counting all of those as mine,"
Frank stated calmly as some people jeered.
"Of course you are, Frankie," Hans patted him on the back, leaving a bloody handprint. "We all know you need the money, right?"
Frank glared at him and shrugged. Even with the wholesale slaughter happening on the killing ground, the infected were still coming, even more dangerous now that the weakest of them were dying off.
"Oh, Abyss, no,"
Dale heard a soft voice say near him. He turned to see the swordsman Nez looking into the crowd. Nez pulled in a gasp of air.
"Don't worry, I've got this one."
He moved as close as he could to the wall, taking a defensive stance and breathing deeply. Just as he sharply inhaled, a thunderous boom began shaking the walls. Dale had to blink rapidly to clear his vision, blinded by a massive writhing column of lightning that had formed a continuous stream from an infected mage. The path of it was still burning in the air as the mage attempted to channel it into the defenders. At the halfway point, the path acquired a sharp turn, pulsating toward Nez. There was a beautiful rune script in the air in front of him, spinning in place as the lightning accumulated on it like flies on feces. Nez was beginning to pant as sweat poured off of him. The wall, inches from his face, was glowing and melting from the plasma burning through it. Any infected that ran through the light had whatever bit of them that touched it lopped off, and the wound cauterized even while the flowing electricity killed them. Nez roared in triumph as the lightning stopped, then slammed his foot down and released the energy back into the crowd. The lightning shattered into individual bolts, arcing to and fro in the seething crowd. The chained lightning expended all of its fury upon the unsuspecting diseased people, killing hundreds in seconds as their hearts stopped. The wall of bodies was motionless for a long minute as Nez sank to the floor.
"Celestial," Adam whispered. "How did you catch that?"
Nez wheezed in reply.
"Lightning. Cultivator." He took a sip of offered water. "You try cultivating in a thunderstorm without having a way to hold the lightning in place."
A light seemed to dawn on the faces of the mages around the small area. Dale felt uncomfortable as they exchanged glances.
"What?"
"That mage should have easily been able to return the favor, catching the lightning and returning it," Chandra spoke up, trailing off. "They have no defenses in place. Defending against elemental attacks takes focus, and they don't have any. We have been using more powerful abilities than we needed to, thinking that they would have defenses in place that we would need to break through. With this knowledge, though, we can be far more effective."
Rose spoke over the resulting noise.
"That didn't kill the mages. They are getting to their feet out there."
She pointed at bodies that were being tossed to the side as the most powerful infected returned to their feet.
"A little thing like their heart stopping won't stop a mage," the portal mage Justin scoffed, bringing the group's attention to him. "Haven't you ever heard the description of a mage's body? Near physical invulnerability is not just a saying we use to scare off assassination attempts. Watch and learn."
He raised his hands, and after a few seconds of intense concentration, the lightning mage who had just seemed to come back from the dead dropped dead. Again.
"What did you just do?"
Dale whispered in horror as blood leaked from the dead mage's eyes.
"Oh, Abyss, yes!"
The next words from me were drowned out by the hubbub of noise that followed. Justin, not catching the interplay, smugly announced,
"I made a small portal in his head and transported his brain a few feet away."
He got a few cheers and pats on the back as Dale waited for something horrible to happen. 26.
"Oh, Abyss, yes! Here it comes, Danny! Lightning-based mana coming towards my core! Rerouting, opening the holding container now."
"It's working! Danny, we're set here!"
I grunted in pain as a huge mass of essence from the man slammed into me. Luckily, my key spiral was up to the task of holding all of it. My key threads were currently bloated with power, the essence of over 1,000 people trying to force its way into my core simultaneously.
"Whew! Wasn't expecting that. I thought mages only had mana in them," I queried Danny, disturbed by this development.
"They do, right until they die. Then a small portion of their mana is reduced to essence as their soul separates from their body,"
Danny explained to me, much to my relief.
"Thank you, my fantastical floating friend."
She gave me a look.
"That is far too long for a nickname, and I think you are trying too hard."
"I'll eventually find something you like," I mumbled petulantly.
"Why not just call me by my name?"
Danny sounded a tad exasperated.
"Whatever. Did all the mana get into that extra-dimensional space like you had planned? No leakage?"
"I am pretty sure it did."
"Pretty sure?"
"Yeah, and I'm not exploding, so I think I am okay. I can't double-check to see if the storage went as planned. If I reopen the space, at least some mana will come out, but all of these deaths are driving me closer and closer toward the B rankings. I think we need to come up with a plan of action for making sure that happens smoothly. My change of topic caught her off guard. She turned, considering what I had just said.
Do you mean finding a concept to meditate on? Something compatible with your essence type? That will be difficult. You have pure essence, and I am not certain what kind of mana you will be able to bind with.
Danny trailed off, both of us deep in thought.
Hey, Danny?
Yeah, Cal?
After this little war, how about we take a vacation? Ignore the adventurers unless they get really close, and just spend some quality time together.
She started turning pink as I spoke.
Realistically, most of what we have been doing has been fighting or learning. I've been learning concepts, you've been training to fight as every creature in here. I'd like to learn more about your past, where you came from, and so forth.
I almost felt embarrassed, but we were going to be together a long, long time. Danny sounded a bit shy.
That sounds like a plan, Cal. The last few months have been rather stressful, huh?
They have. I know that I'm usually focused on the things going on, but I know that I need to work on helping you as well. Maybe we can find a way for you to travel for a while?
I would like that. Not too long, of course.
Danny paused mid-chuckle.
Cal, I just realized. The concept you could bind your essence to. The concept to bring you into the B ranks.
What? What?
Oh, this is just perfect.
Danny started to vibrate. She was laughing so hard.
Cal, what is the difference between your essence and everyone else's?
It is really pure?
Right!
She shouted, startling a nearby elf.
And as we know, as essence becomes more pure, it gets closer to its true state.
She trailed off leadingly.
Are you saying that I should be a quintessence mage?
I paused, realizing the joke.
So I will transform my essence into the concept of essence?
Right?
Danny could barely contain her glee.
Right? It would be totally unique. There has never been a quintessence mage before. Well, that I know of.
Awesome! Danny, that is hilarious and brilliant.
Here's how to begin. Focus on the concept. In this case, essence. Feel the essence. Meditate really hard on what essence actually is. As you approach the B ranks, if your affinity for quintessence is high enough, you will begin to understand it in ways that are unexplainable to anyone else. In your mind, during your breakthrough, you will form a bond to quintessence and learn its true potential.
Do you think I have a high enough affinity? I hesitantly questioned.
I hope so. You are the only being that I can think of that could do it.
Danny coughed.
Except Dale at this point.
Would that be an issue?
Well, not really. It is just that the more mages of a certain type there are, the more likely that there will be someone to counter whatever you throw at them. Two mages that follow the same cultivation path are basically at a stalemate against each other.
Well, he is a long way from the mage ranks. I'm getting closer by the second, I announced proudly.
I would be the first quintessence mage. Dale might never find out that this is an option, so I may stay the only one.
Well, hopefully everything is as it should be. The mage trials are difficult, and if you aren't suited to the mana type, it could break your mind.
I sighed, a completely unnecessary noise, as I don't breathe.
You know, you could have just kept that tidbit to yourself.
A scream reverberated down the tunnel, returning my attention to the battles raging. I frowned in concern as I realized that a few defenders had been affected by spores while my attention was elsewhere. They didn't know it yet, but if something weren't done soon, they would sink into madness.
Dale,
I waited for a response.
A bit busy here, came the reply. You promised not to distract me in battle, remember?
This is important. I need to talk to your alchemist about a cure, or at least an antidote for the spores. I can provide materials and anything else he needs, but a few of the defenders have been infected, I told him earnestly.
Dale imperceptibly paused in his fighting.
Why are you offering to help?
If you all die, I am doubtful that other people will feel secure coming here. Total self-interest here.
I blatantly ignored the fact that I was also in danger from these things.
Can't you bother Minya with this?
Dale's thoughts were filled with frustration.
I would, but she's killing things a lot more efficiently than you. Taking her from the front lines would leave a big hole in the defenses. Taking you, well, let's just say you won't be missed too much.
I looked at the people around him.
Except as a laundry service, perhaps.
You are such an ass.
Dale told the people around him that he was moving back. Just as I predicted, there was almost no change in the quantity of dying infected. He moved to the rear, where healers, the apothecary, and the alchemist were doing their best to get people patched up.
I need to talk to you, Dale called to the alchemist.
The man in question glared and told Dale off for interrupting him. He stopped grumbling at Dale's next words.
I may have a way to formulate an antidote.
Fine. You have 5 minutes to explain how you, an untrained, know-nothing non-alchemist, can help me find a cure for this before we all die. Also, without a lab or any kind of equipment.
The man glared at Dale, seemingly ready to jump down his throat at the first mistake.
Tell him we have all the equipment he needs if he can describe it accurately enough. Say you can also get him any material he needs if I know how to make it. I also have a deep understanding of the disease itself, as well as how it interacts with humans and animals at this point,
I instructed Dale. He repeated verbatim what I said, and the alchemist, though skeptical, nodded and followed Dale to the back wall of the fort. They pushed against the wall where I told them, opening the goblin respawn room. The alchemist looked around in confusion.
Why haven't we been using this room for the wounded? It is far more defensible.
I just found it, Dale told him honestly.
He pointed at the jumble of alchemy equipment that I had whipped up.
What else do you need?
The alchemist looked at the equipment.
First, I need to make sure that you can get me what you promised. Let's start with rare material. I need 2 strong-type beast cores, a pound of powdered aluminum, and an alembic.
Have him describe the alembic and its function, I told Dale. He did, and I was able to create what I hope would be close to what the man was talking about. I had Dale open the top of an oversized chest in the corner of the room. To get around the concentration of auras in the area, I had a chute attached to the back of the chest that I could drop things into. This setup also had given me a good idea for a new trap.
Here you go,
Dale cheerfully told the incredulous alchemist, handing over the requested items. The man looked at the gear in wonder.
We may actually have a chance to.
He rushed to start setting up his lab, calling out for various things.
I have no idea why he wanted some of the things, but I was watching raptly. There was one point where he asked for Elves' ear, but had a disgusted look on his face as Dale handed over the dripping flesh.
What?
Dale was taken aback at the look on the craftsman's face.
Right, he sighed. I'll be more specific. Elves' ear is an herb, not a literal ear. I've seen it upstairs. You may also call it mountain lavender.
Oh, that's easier.
I dropped a bag of the herb down. Next, there was an intense interview where Dale was asked exceedingly detailed questions about the fungus. Dale had a delightfully confused look on his face as I answered through him.
The poor lad really had no idea what he was saying, just repeating as best as he could.
And I soiled myself,
Dale repeated, before turning red at the realization of what he had uttered.
Oh.
The alchemist took a step back.
Well, battle isn't for everyone.
What the shit, Cal?
Dale muttered, choosing poor phrasing in my opinion.
Just trying to lighten the mood. I chuckled at his embarrassment.
I need crushed topaz, but if you want to go clean yourself first...
I'm fine!
Dale snapped, grabbing a bag of topaz and nearly throwing it at the man. The alchemist looked at Dale, nodded, and began calling out ingredients whilst continuing his questioning.
Danny kept me up to date on the goings-on of the fight. After a small reminder from her, I returned to using a portion of my willpower focusing on collecting and eradicating any spores that the infected released. The battle was not going well for the defenders at this point. Though they were killing hundreds every few minutes, there were thousands more making their way down the tunnels. An exhausting hour passed, the alchemist squeezing information out of me that I had no idea was relevant. Dale was hoarse from the constant stream of speaking and looked like he would rather be fighting mindless humans.
Now we wait for the distillation to complete.
The alchemist sat down with a heavy sigh.
I don't know how much this will make, but it is a start. We need someone to test it on as well.
"How sure are you about this?" Dale asked the first question in an hour that wasn't from me. A slow shake of the head.
"This will end up being one of two things. I am sure it will have an effect on those poor souls. But in what way? If it works as intended, it will be an antidote for the fungus, killing it without harming the host. I suppose it may simply be an effective way to kill them quickly."
I perked up hearing this.
"Otherwise, it will end up being a reagent."
"A reagent? What do you mean by that?" Dale looked at the fluid flowing slowly through glass pipes.
"When an inscription is powered, certain things in the pattern can allow the rune to have additional or more powerful effects. A reagent is added for a single-use effect, whereas a catalyst is used to reduce the mana or essence needed to power the inscription."
The alchemist took a deep, shuddering breath.
"If this turns out to be a reagent, we will need a huge amount of celestial essence, or a moderate amount of mana, along with a compatible rune for it to have any effect at all. The process will most likely kill anything with the aural signature of the disease. Let's hope it's an antidote which will simply be a cure then."
Dale patted the man on the shoulder. Another head shake.
"Has our luck ever been that good?"
Dale left the alchemist to his fussing over heat levels, preferring to be in the thick of battle. He surveyed the dungeon, and it appeared that the only forts remaining were the one housing the nobles and this one. He had to stop himself from sinking into depression at the thought that everyone had stayed on his command. He shuddered for a moment and inhaled sharply. The knowledge that your mistakes led to the death of others was the price of command, and he would do his duty by joining his vassals in combat. Falling apart would help no one except the dungeon. Dale moved forward, replacing a much relieved, exhausted man on the wall. His fighting style was simplistic with these beasts. Draw back a fist, straight punch. Draw back a fist, punch. Pull, punch. The infected didn't bother to defend. They were 100% attack. Dale chuckled at the thought that his combat instructor would actually approve. He had made Dale punch like this into a wooden post 500 times to end every session. Constantly drilling the simplest moves was the best way to improve the foundation of your art, at least according to the crotchety old moon elf. As he was putting down another rabid humanoid, Dale realized that he was seeing a dark haze of essence in the air. It reacted to his cultivation, so he attempted to draw it in. For the first time in his life, he unwittingly cultivated infernal essence. He stopped fighting in shock, as the essence did everything it could to be absorbed by him. When he started drawing it in, the dark power poured into his center, attempting to overwhelm whatever else was there. Only the fact that the taint was drawn into a small core to the side of his center saved him from being overwhelmed by the tendril of corruption.
"Dale?" Hans was standing next to him. "Are you okay? It looks like there is an infernal essence being drawn into you. Did an affinity channel get forced open or something?"
Dale hesitated to respond, then realized that if he couldn't trust his teammate with his secrets, he shouldn't trust him with his life on a daily basis.
"I actually think I have all of them open," he stated weakly.
Hans looked deeper into Dale, then gasped and took a step back in shock.
"You're a beast?"
"What? No!" Dale reached out to reassure his friend, patting him on the arm.
"I do somehow have a core embedded around my center, though. I think it has to do with the beast we fought a while back. After that, all my affinity channels were open."
Hans inspected Dale's pure essence.
"How have you not been overwhelmed by corruption? If they are all open, you should be absolutely sick."
"Watch." Dale opened himself up to the infernal essence in the room, and Hans watched as it sank into him and vanished.
"Wow, some kind of... Where did it go?"
Hans was poking Dale in the chest, as though that would help explain the situation. Dale smacked away the offending finger.
"Stop that. It goes into a small beast core to the side of my center."
"How have you been cultivating?"
Hans waved away the answer.
"Right, pure essence in here. On the next rest rotation, I want you to open all of your affinity channels and suck in everything. Essence and corruption. We need to find your limits so that we can set up a training plan when this is all over."
Smiling at his friend, Dale nodded. I'm loving the optimism.
Better than planning to die.
Hans reached out and stabbed an infected man that was getting too close, punching his dagger through the man's forehead as easily as pushing a knife through unenchanted parchment. He chuckled.
I'm going to enjoy you having to purchase enough alcohol to make a mage drunk.
Dale felt a shiver of apprehension at these words. How much booze would it take to make that happen? He looked up as he heard a now familiar explosion. Somewhere in the dungeon, an infected had ruptured its center.
Shards! Hit the floor!
A voice rang out, followed by shrapnel from damaged rock pinging off the defenses hard enough to gouge chunks of rock. The unlucky few who didn't respond fast enough fell screaming as holes were torn in their bodies. The mage's hit released a short grumble as their clothes were torn a bit more. Dale waved at the man that had called out the warning.
A 50 silver bonus to you, sir. Teamwork is the only way we are getting out of here. Nice work.
His praise made the man swell with pride, and soon warnings were ringing out across the fortification.
The line is getting thin on the left wall. Get some archers up there.
Big ass infected charging. Mage! Mage!
Boom.
Thank you, mage.
We need some relief in the center. They haven't had a break in hours.
Who needs a break? We've got this.
A roar of agreement rose from the center of the line. Hans threw an arm around Dale's neck.
Look at that. You're inspiring. Who would have guessed?
Rude, Dale responded, pushing Hans away and punching an infected that was scaling the wall.
Oh, gods! A man suddenly screamed. I can feel it. I'm infected.
Hans looked askance at Dale.
Want me to go check on that?
No, I'll do it. We needed a test subject for... thing. Dale looked at his nonplussed friend.
I'll go now. How about... Sure?
Hans tried to suppress a grin.
Just so you know, people don't really like their liege lord experimenting on them.
It's for a cure. I'm not exper... Dang it, Hans!
Dale sputtered as Hans started laughing at him. Dale hurried over after confirming that his team was holding up well. He walked up to the small group looking at the man who was slowly sprouting mushrooms.
Come with me. The alchemist has been working on a potential antidote.
The man looked up, fury beginning to build in his eyes.
You! I'm the leader of the collective, and you ordered us around like animals! If I turn, I'm coming for you first!
Dale was shocked by the anger directed at him, but didn't let it show. Nick, correct? If the cure works, then everything will be fine. Don't worry. If you turn too quickly, we'll put you down before you become a threat. Nick's face drained of color as he realized he was being threatened. He was used to people of lower cultivation rankings cowering before him, and the look of total unconcern on Dale's face made him quail inside. They moved over to where the alchemist was putting the finishing touches on his concoction. He looked up as they entered the room.
Ah! Do we have a volunteer?
Dale hesitated a moment.
He was kind of voluntold. A death for research is better than a death by devolving into a ravenous creature. Hopefully you will even survive.
The alchemist didn't seem to notice, nor would have cared about, Nick's unhappy face. A thick sludge streamed into a vial, and when it was full, the alchemist began to put it into a thin blade, similar to the style of injecting daggers that Hans used.
Dale, get some of that before he uses it all. I can make a whole lot more than he can in a limited time frame.
Dale ducked as my words entered his mind. The others looked at him in startlement.
Sorry, stress, Dale hurried to explain.
The alchemist leaned closer to Nick, whispering.
He made a mess earlier.
Stop that,
Dale commanded, face flushing.
I need a drop of that liquid. In the chest here, please. I can't just waste this potion, came the indignant reply. Who knows if we have enough time to make more? Sir!
Dale interrupted the tirade. Please don't fight this. I promise it is for a good reason. Have I let you down yet? A grumble came, and a tiny droplet of the concentrated solution was dropped into the chest.
Happy now?
Yes.
Yes, that should do it,
Dale affirmed on my behalf. The alchemist turned and jabbed the short dagger into the muscle tissue of Nick's thigh. Nick yelped and started to take a swing at the man, but stopped himself as the potion hit his system. Nick went pale and dropped to the floor, convulsing.
"Blast and damnation!" The alchemist stomped on the ground. "Hold his head! He will damage himself!"
No one made a move to touch the infected man writhing on the ground.
"Oh, right, the disease. He should be fine, then."
"What went wrong?" Dale asked as the alchemist began mumbling about the quantity of potion remaining. The man slumped and sighed.
"This turned out to be a reagent. We will need to fill the lines of a rune with this, then channel celestial essence or mana into it."
"We can do that,"
Dale determinedly turned, preparing to call the clerics and celestial mages.
"No point," the alchemist shook his head. "We would need a massive rune, an inscribed rune, and we just don't have that kind of time. An enchantment won't work. The reagent would be used up as it was applied instead of in a quick, evenly activated sequence."
"Can we use a smaller one?"
"Why couldn't we use a smaller one?" Dale questioned the reasoning presented to him.
"The area it affects would be too small to be of any real use. A few would be stopped, but an arrow or three can do that,"
the alchemist scoffed. Silence reigned in the room, at least as much silence as could be garnered while the world seemed to be ending.
"Fine. I have had enough. Time to fix things. Again. Ugh."
27.
"Dale, ask him what kind of rune it has to be," I directed. Dale relayed my words, which had the alchemist rubbing his patchy beard.
"Well, I suppose really any rune that is specifically anti-infernal. This fungicide should do the rest."
He waved the small remaining amount of potion around. Dale chimed in. "How much of that will we actually need in order to activate a rune large enough to be effective?"
"Enough for at least an even coat,"
came the calculated reply.
"Easy enough. I had been working on examining the pattern of the potion that had been put in the chest. At this point, I had almost done. I fully understood the potion and how to make it. My method of creation was far less time-intensive, and a
thud
announced the arrival of an oak cask in the treasure chest of the room."
"What was that?"
They lifted the lid and opened the cask, revealing a large jar of the precious fluid. The alchemist looked around with bright eyes.
"I never want to leave this room again," he muttered under his breath.
"That could be arranged," I muttered in a completely non-threatening way.
Dale still glared around the room.
"Could we test the potion with this?"
Dale reached into his tattered, blood-stained shirt and withdrew an amulet. This amulet had the first rune that I had ever learned, a celestial-attuned inscription that would weaken the bonds of infernal influence when powered by essence.
"I see no reason why not."
They moved over to the weakly thrashing leader of the collective and waited as the alchemist carefully poured an even coat of fluid along the lines. He started to lean down, but with a frown looked around.
"I don't suppose any of you are celestial cultivators?"
Head shakes all around.
"I'll go get someone."
Dale took off at a run, grabbing Adam and sprinting back with a breathless explanation. Adam gingerly took the amulet from the alchemist and with a quick prayer thrust it against the spasming man's chest. Activating the inscription with a burst of essence, Adam was knocked back as a ripple of celestial essence interacted with the reagent and expanded in a sphere from the rune. Nick screamed as the light flowed over him and the visible mushrooms withered and died.
They tore themselves out of their host, leaving gaping holes as the semi-intelligent parasite tried to save itself.
The light seemed to hunt down every last bit, spearing even the smallest speck and converting it to ash. Adam applied his essence in a different way, working to heal Nick before he bled out on the floor. He looked around as he spoke.
"That took a lot more essence to activate than it ever has before. Did you say that you were planning to make a larger version?"
"Yes. The hope there was that we would be able to stop the infection by creating a cure, killing only the mushrooms."
Dale glanced at the pool of blood around Nick.
"It appears that this process will be a bit more fatal than we had originally hoped."
Adam looked surprised.
You thought this could fix them without killing them?
I had hoped, Dale said glumly. That hope is gone now, though. Nick here was barely infected, and the cure nearly finished him off.
The alchemist chimed in.
This rune was pretty much our only hope. The area it affects is too small to be of any use in combat, though. We will just have to do our best to survive.
Did you not hear the determination in my voice, Dale? I think I have a solution for you. I was getting a bit cross about them making decisions based on incomplete data.
Do tell,
Dale thought at me sarcastically. We have a few options. The first is that you clear a large area of anything not sworn to me, and I build a rune on it. This includes people and the infected. Then, your celestial essence users would sacrifice their entire cultivation for the runic activation. I began, only to be cut off.
I don't see that happening. Most of them would seriously rather die than give up decades' worth of essence, Dale rebutted in frustration.
Fine. Then you could have everyone here swear a binding oath to me so I could ignore their auras and build the rune here, I offered hopefully. I could use some new material gatherers.
I would rather die than give you that kind of access to people,
Dale returned unhelpfully. I snorted. Well, that is just mean. Fine. The last option is to go collect the celestial quartz that was knocked into the boss room of the first floor. That is stuffed full of essence and even has the appropriate rune. Dale sighed in frustration. People were dying.
I don't know if you were listening, but the reagent has to go on an inactive rune.
Yes, exactly my point. There is a mana storm raging outside. Something hit the quartz hard enough to knock it loose from its stone setting, and it fell into the dungeon. The activation portion of the rune broke off from the strike, so the rune is sitting inert. I spoke to him a tad condescendingly. He really needed to listen to me more. Dale perked up, a bit shocked at the information I was freely giving him. He relayed my story to the others, and the alchemist agreed that it was their best shot. The man also danced a bit when we told him it was an option. They quickly gathered the leaders in the area, asking for help in gathering a group to get to the powerful rune-scripted quartz. Frank was not at all interested.
Why would we do that? We're holding the area, and they can't last forever. We have a defensible area, supplies, and enough people to survive the horde.
Dale was taken aback at the guild leader's vehemence. The other mages of the group agreed with Frank's words. Adam boldly joined the conversation, doing his best not to stammer in the face of these powerful people.
That is inaccurate. While we are holding out for the time being, almost a quarter of our people have received serious injuries. We have been able to patch up most of them, but we are running out of potions and essence to make this happen. The people injured are weakened, and they will be exhausted for at least a few days. That increases their chances of being re-injured significantly.
Frank waved his hand.
We can make it just fine. We've killed thousands. The end is in sight.
How many mages were in Spotterton?
Dale had a flash of insight. Amber glanced at him.
Dozens. Maybe as many as 50.
And how many have we seen in this fight? Just the known ones from Spotterton, Dale questioned leadingly.
Sometimes it was better to let powerful people think that they were the ones making the important decisions.
Oh, Abyss, Chandra cursed. We've seen a bare handful.
Frank powered on.
Maybe they all were the ones to rupture their centers up above.
Dale sighed.
Frank, you are making good points, but we can't rely on I hope so right now. We have a proven method of defeating this enemy, and I feel that we need to take this chance.
Frank, you have something on your arm,
Amber announced in a tremulous voice, pointing at his left arm.
What are you?
Frank swatted at his arm, wincing when he hit a small mushroom.
Oh, no.
You have been seeming a bit more aggressive.
Chandra took a step away from him. Frank looked at Dale, eyes wild.
You said something about a proven cure?
Better. I've tested it. The cure takes a large amount of celestial essence, though. We can't continuously use the process on individual people.
Adam spoke again. Frank looked at his arm, deeply troubled.
I'll go.
Frank's voice cracked as another mushroom began to sprout from his elbow.
I can't order other people to go, though. It would not be right, and we still need defenders.
I'll go as well, Dale stated, hushing the people that started to object. I have access to information that you just don't.